south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Every once in a while, I get an email from someone who says, Johnny, you know, I took 4 years of Spanish in high school or college, and I visited some Latin countries, went to Mexico a couple of times, and I can converse quite a bit with the locals. At least I can understand them and think I can get my point across. So, bottom line, some Spanish-speaking listeners say they'd like to do it themselves. That would be part of the fun of it. In fact, that's what they learn their Spanish for, to mingle with the masses and do things on their own. It would be logical to think not everything's that complicated. Meaning, gringos with a little Spanish under the belt should be able to get through it. There's always the routine stuff that the average Latin American guy who's got probably a 6th or 8th grade education manages to fumble through without a lawyer of any kind. If he can do the routine stuff like signing his kids up for public school, getting a passport or an ID document, opening a bank account, whatever, why can't a Spanish-speaking gringo do it? The fact is, even the poorest, most uneducated Latins go out and get that personal identification card. And believe me, to get that one, you have to jump through a lot of hoops. By the way, that's the little card that looks like a driver's license. Latins are supposed to carry around with them at all times, like a social security card. In fact, I understand Latins can't even get money out of their bank account or change money without having that card on them. And by the way, you'll get one of those so-called DPIs or personal identification cards yourself when you become a permanent resident in a Latin country. Some of you might recall, that's the identity card you get with a nice shiny RFID chip in it that doesn't work. You gotta love it here. Welcome to Latin America. But where were we? Oh yeah. People who write me those emails are absolutely right. If you know enough Spanish, you can get through the basic everyday operations that almost all Latins have to go through at one time or another. They don't have lawyers and helpers and assistants to hold their hands through that stuff. They just do it. Yes, it's true. If you have more time than money, the patience of an angel, and a stainless steel bladder, you can stand all day in government lines too. Hey, now, there's an idea. Why not rent out some cheap folding beach chairs to the miserable sods standing in line all day? It doesn't have to be standing room only. It could be sitting room only, and you can profit from that. No, not you. I mean, hire some young kid to do it. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, but wait a second. Any of you listeners out there who think that's a nutty idea, I bet you haven't been to Latin America yet. You might even recall a show I did a long time ago where I mentioned that every single government building spawns an outdoor, gray market capitalistic enterprise, where people sell and hawk everything from Coca-Cola to cotton candy, the corn on the cob, to tortillas and pirated CDs. After all, when people stand in lines for hours at a time, it's a hell of a captive audience. Now, that said, a lot of gringos and expats have more time than money on their hands, especially backpacker types, and just might want to try wangling their way through that system. In fact, sometimes when I see a gigantic line somewhere in front of a government building, I'll spot a lone, scruffy, backpacker-type gringo towering above the sweaty masses. Obviously, he's trying to save a few bucks by not hiring a local lawyer to run that gauntlet for him. Obviously, lone gringos in government lines think their Spanish is good enough to get him through it. And it very well could be, but the hardest part is yet to come, believe me. So anyway, I realized a long time ago, even when I first got down here, that I'd have to hire lawyers for things like that because my Spanish absolutely sucked when I got here. And now, of course, I could brave those lines and get through the procedures, but I'm not what you'd call a patient line stander. Never was. I don't care if I've got a couple of books and magazines and an iPod with me, I still just hate standing in lines. That said, I broke a rule just yesterday. It was a one-shot deal that I figured I'd do for informational purposes only, of course. It happened when one of my Latin buddies called me early in the morning and asked me if I'd accompany him down to the immigration office because he had to get a replacement ID. That would be the so-called DPI, or their version of the Social Security card that they're supposed to carry on them at all times, like I mentioned earlier. And of course, that would be the card that gringos and expats get when they get permanent residency, too. So, you might be wondering, what does DPI stand for? Well, the D is for datos, which is data in English. The P is for personal, which is personal. And the I is for información, which is information. So, it's a personal information data card. And everyone throughout Latin America now has one, and it's referred to as a DPI or something very similar, depending what Latin country you're in. Anyway, as it turns out, a couple of weeks earlier, this Latin friend of mine moved, and he somehow lost that little personal ID card along the way. And as he said, now he's having trouble getting money out of the bank, cashing checks, and getting past guards at gated communities, etc. So, like he said, for the last couple of weeks, he's been carrying around his passport when needed, hoping that card will show up, but it hasn't yet. Anyway, the two of us hadn't seen each other in a long time, and we had to catch up on some things, so I said I'd go along with him, thinking, of course, that I could see exactly for myself what people have to go through to get these things done. In this case, a very common thing, too, losing an ID document and having to get a replacement. So how hard could it be? Well, just wait and see. And remember, this guy's a native Latin, so he's got his Spanish down 100%. And he's an adult in his mid-30s, so he should know the system, right? It's his country. So anyway, by 9 in the morning, we're in the big city. We go down to the old part of town, to the section where the government buildings are, and we go into the municipal building, walk into this big cavernous place, and see a big sign leading down a hallway that says personal identification documents, that would be the card we're talking about, passports and birth certificates. So we walk down the hall, go through a big door, and there are about 100 people sitting in assigned chairs. My Latin friend and I sat down in chair 111 and 112, and that's the order they take you in. Now, it looked like to get to one of the three or four service windows, it would be an impossible feat before noon. So, after about 5 minutes of gauging how fast people were moving up to those windows, we figured it was going to take 3 hours, maybe more, to get any service at all. So we looked at each other, and I said, man, this is no good. Let's get out of here. And we stood up. And as we were walking out the room, a guard in a government uniform came up to me, and he said, come with me. Venga conmigo, canche, which means, come with me, blondie. Now, I'm not a blonde, but any gringo with any kind of brown or sandy hair at all is called canche, which means blondie. I guess because we're off the gringo tourist trail and we're so rare, they kind of generalize and lump us into a mold. But don't we do that too? Can't deny that. Anyway, the guard led me right past everyone to the front of the line right up to the window. Which reminded me of a story that John Galt once told me when he went to get his permanent residency. They did exactly the same thing to him. He was the only gringo in the room. They singled him out and walked him right past everyone who had been waiting a long, long time and put him right in front of the window. Now, if that happened in the States, you'd probably hear some booing and hissing, and you might even get stabbed in the back because no one but a scumbag politician or a pus-brained Kardashian gets the royal treatment like that. So naturally, I looked over my shoulder to see how many evil eyes I was getting, and guess what? None! They all smiled at me. A nice smile, too, which tends to make you feel even worse under the circumstances. In fact, I was waiting for someone to announce over the PA, gringo in the house, gringo in the house. Because remember now, we're way off the gringo tourist trail. In fact, like I said, in the places I live, work, play, and hang out, I could walk around all day in a city of over 1 million people and never see a single gringo. Unless, of course, I'm in the First World Hotel District, then I'm bound to run into a gaggle of fresh-faced do-gooders from Boise giving away free water purifiers or building solar outhouses for Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. If it makes you feel good, knock yourself out. However, as soon as you leave, chances are, the free water filters will become flower pots or soup or salad bowls, and the solar outhouses, solar dog houses. That's what happens when you give out free stuff. I mean, come on, remember how you treated your dad's car when he let you have the keys? But where were we? Oh yeah, standing in the front of the line in that big cavernous room, me, the only gringo, and my Latin buddy. Then the lady behind the window started talking to me, and I said, no, we're here for him. I'm just along for the ride. And I guess that was the wrong thing to say, because the guard instantly made us, or I should say my buddy, go back to the end of the line, and we'd lost ground, being the next two seats available were 114 and 115. And you know what? We never sat down. We just kept walking right out of the building. You see what I mean about the gringo advantage, don't you? I got to take cuts in front of over 100 people and basically treated like a visiting dignitary. Now, seeing is believing, and you really do have to get boots on the ground to experience something like that. Or just talk to other gringos, like, for example, John Galt. The same thing happened to him. So anyway, we were standing outside that giant municipal building, and it's still early in the day, about 9:30. And I said to my Latin friend, you know, there's another option here. We could get the lawyer. He'll cut through all that crap in no time. Then my friend snapped his finger and said, hey, I have an idea. We could take a ride to the nearest small town. That's like about a half an hour away. A lot of the small towns now have the same services. It's all integrated by computer now. We should be able to get this stuff done where there aren't throngs of people. So we headed off to a small town, and since it was one of the wealthier little towns in the country, according to my friend, with a population of about 20,000, he checked the internet on his smartphone and found out, yes, it did have all the government services. Then he said, if we can't figure this thing out today and get it done over there, I'll throw in the towel and call a lawyer. So anyway, we go to the little town square and find the municipal building, walk into a big open foyer. There we saw seven or eight doors, each with its own nicked and scuffed up signage. The first door said, building permits and inspections. Another said, USI, that's USI in capital letters, which is the municipal tax collection body for the property taxes. Then there was another door that said, municipal water department, which suddenly reminded me that I had to use the restroom. And by the way, since I'm not a Latino, the world is not my urinal. Yes, early on my mother taught me how to hold my water and use restrooms. So I walked through the door next to the municipal water department. Turned out it was the men's restroom. And immediately I saw a lady on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this in a past show, but many times you'll walk into a restroom in Latin America and there'll be a lady in there cleaning up. Now, for gringos, that's highly unusual. When's the last time you walked into a public restaurant in a hotel or McDonald's or wherever, and the lady just kept cleaning without skipping a beat? Meanwhile, you just kind of stand there waiting for her to get out or tell you to get out or something. But you see, down here, that'll never happen. She'll just keep on working. Now, I know there's some gringos who can never get used to that, especially guys like my brother who are pee shy. However, I'm not afflicted with that particular psychological ailment, so enough said about that. Anyway, like I said, I noticed the cleaning lady scrubbing the restroom floor. Then she looked up and smiled. Obviously, I was probably the first gringo she'd ever spoken to in her life. Too bad her memory of that centered around a smelly-ass public municipal bathroom, huh? Anyway, she turned to me and sheepishly said, sorry, but you can't use the restroom. It's out of service. I said, why? She said, lo siento, no hay agua. Now, you hear that a lot in Latin America. And you see a lot of makeshift signs like that, too. Lo siento, no hay agua. Now, I think we should have some t-shirts made up like that because you hear it so damn much. And of course, it means there's no water. So, do you get it? Do you now realize why Big Brother is never going to take hold in Latin America? If you're not getting it, let me spell this out for you. Right next to the door that says restroom, it says municipal water department, and they've got no water in the building. Oh, they have plumbing and pipes and toilets and such, but no water or water pressure. Which, of course, is another reason you don't want to be on municipal water unless you have a gigantic cistern to collect every little bit of water that dribbles through your main municipal pipe. Now, maybe you'll get 8 or 10 hours of water a day, and the rest of the day, nothing. So you want to collect all that water in your cistern. So overnight, it'll be completely filled, and you'll have plenty of water for the day. You can do that just by collecting the slow dribble, but you have to collect it when you've got water pressure. Then, of course, you have an auxiliary electric pump, which is like a sump pump. They're cheap, around $100, and that pump will keep the normal water pressure in your house 24/7, pulling water from the cistern when there's no pressure from the main line. And you'll never know that because it's all automatic. And if it sounds like putting a system like this together is a pain in the ass, it's not. It's rather simple. It's a one-time cost of about $300 to $500, and you're set forever. So then you have to ask, why doesn't the Municipal Water Authority have a cistern to have water in their building 24/7? The only answer to that is, duh. Or perhaps the money was allotted, but a scumbag politician or worker walked off with it. Or perhaps they have one and the pump's broken because no one does any maintenance. That says a hell of a lot about the efficiency and capabilities of a government, doesn't it? And it also tells you you need a big cistern and a pump. Or better yet, your own well. And by the way, nearly all suburban gated communities have their own well. So they're not at all dependent on a municipal water supply. Oh, and one more thing. You can tell the quality and class of an establishment by how they name their bathrooms in Latin America. If it's a real low-end deal like a gas station, it'll say Baño, B-A-N-O. And a little more upscale place will have a sign that says Hombres, Men. Are you an hombre? Well, they think you are. And yet a higher class place will have a sign that says caballeros, which means gentlemen. By the way, there's a famous Latin song that was translated in the 40s into English called The Gay Caballero. El Caballero Divertido. And depending on how you feel about it, you might say good song, bad title, or bad song, good title. Your choice. So anyway, we walked through the door that said birth certificates, passports, IDs, etc. And there were a total of 10 chairs in the place. And get this, an entire wall consisting of a chaotic stack of bound and bundled papers that went to the ceiling. What a mess. Anyway, to our relief, there were only 10 seats, and two of them were occupied. How's that? Took us about 5 minutes to get called up to one of the three desks, which in itself blew my mind because in the big city version of the passport ID section, they had over 100 chairs and 5 service windows. Typical government, huh? Everything ass backwards. So anyway, we sat down at one of these desks, and it wasn't a window like at the big municipality. It was a regular office desk. Then my friend explained he lost his identity card and needed a replacement. So the lady said, you have to get a boleto ornato at the bank, but not just any bank. You have to go to Bank Rural, which happened to be about 8 or 9 blocks away. How convenient, huh? Now, by the way, that boleto ornato is one of the most useless pieces of government crap you'll ever see. It costs about $2, and all it is a piece of paper saying that you paid $2. Extortion, pure and simple, but it's only $2 worth of extortion. So anyway, as we're walking out, my Latin buddy stopped and said, wait a minute, let me ask her what else we need. And he said, what else do we need? And she said, well, while you're at the bank, you tell the person at the window that you're getting a renewal of your national ID document, and that will cost around $10. To which my friend said, then what? She said, bring back the boleto ornato and the $10 receipt too. So as we walked out of the building, my friend said, good thing I asked that question or we'd be going back and forth to that bank all afternoon. Then I said, yeah, what a bunch of numbnuts. Why don't they post a procedure and what you need right in the office or hand you a piece of paper that says what you need or something? What's wrong with these people? But I knew the answer to that one, and so do you. They don't hire stars. The best and the brightest, they hire their friends and relatives. So not knowing exactly where the bank was, we took the car, the 9 blocks, and waited about a half hour in line there, paid, and got the 2 receipts. And by the way, that makes you wonder what kind of deal they have going with Bank Rural, since there's at least 20 banks in the country. You gotta wonder what maggot-brained politicians on the board of directors of that bank. Meanwhile, back at the government office again, with only 2 people in line, we waited another 10 minutes and handed her the paperwork. She then printed out a copy of his birth certificate. She hands the 2 receipts and the birth certificate to him and says, now I need 2 photocopies of these 3 things. Then I said, do you have a photocopier? She said, it's not working. But she says, you can go down 3 blocks, there's a cafe internet, and they've got a photocopy machine there. So we're off to the cafe internet. It's closed. We go into the pharmacy next door. Good news, they have a copy machine. Bad news, it's out of toner. Alas, dear listeners, be prepared for extreme highs and lows when living in Latin America, especially when dealing with government. Where was I? Oh yeah. Then our spirits were lifted again. We find out there's another cafe internet about 2 blocks down. It's lunchtime. They're closed. However, right next door is a place called La Libreria, which sells papers and pencils and office materials, and they have a copy machine, and they make the copies, 2 of each, which makes 6 copies, for a grand total of, get this, 35 cents. So now we truck back to the government office, and believe it or not, it's open during lunch hour. In fact, my friend and I had a running bet it would be closed, and I lost, so I had to buy lunch. This time there were a number of people in there, so we were number 4 and number 5. As the dirty, smeared stickers on the chairs signified. Oh, and by the way, I gotta tell you, across the street was a kind of a taco restaurant stand, and the guy was blasting this wretched ranchero music you couldn't even hear yourself speak. By the way, ranchero music is what you might call dumbed-down Latin country music, if that's possible. You know it when you hear it, and you know it when you see it, because all the guys have a requisite pot belly and way over-the-top cowboy boots and bullfighter outfits with big sombreros. If you've ever seen a mariachi band, you know what I'm talking about. So the noise was deafening, but no one seemed to care. In fact, they liked it. Everybody in the place, including the pot-bellied guard at the door and the 2 little barefoot raggedy kids that kept popping in and out, were smiling, happy as can be, and occasionally doing a little head-nodding toe-tap with the music. And one of the workers there, a lady behind the desk, was actually singing along. Not too badly, either. So the next step, fingerprints and pictures. which took another 10 minutes or so because they just couldn't seem to get those fingerprints right. Nope, even in Latin America, they don't use ink blotters anymore. Now you put your fingerprints on one of those green laser scanners. Now, in making small talk with the lady, she mentioned the machine breaks down 2 or 3 times a month and they all get to go home. Happy days, huh? Anyway, next. Then, after that, a couple more forms to fill out. They gave my buddy a receipt that said, come back in 20 days or so for the finished product, and we were off. Now, thankfully, there was a phone number on that piece of paper, so you could check and see if it was actually ready, because this is Latin America, you know, land of mañana time. Oh, and here's something else I noticed. In that room, there was a rather large sign posted on the wall above those desks. It said in Spanish, hay quejas, denuncias, o sugerencias, along with a telephone number, which translates to, if you have any complaints or denouncements or suggestions, call this number. Well, I did have plenty of suggestions, so I dialed it up, and guess what? No answer. I dialed again. No answer again. And the good news, well, at least they didn't put me on hold. So there you have it. We started the mission at 9 in the morning and were finished by 2 in the afternoon. But we really weren't finished because now he's got to wait 20 days or so to pick up the document. Total cost, though, not including gas, around $12. Now, do note, if we would have stayed in the big city and tried to get this done, in that room where they had the 100-plus chairs, there's a good chance a gringo speaking very good Spanish could get that done in the same time because you've got that gringo advantage and you skip to the head of the line. Maybe. And you know what? Being a gringo, people will even wave you through in banks, grocery stores, restaurants, you name it. Happens to me all the time. In fact, it can be kind of embarrassing. But when you're on the gringo tourist trail, forget about it. So anyway, that's what it's like dealing with government offices. You need to really know your Spanish or you'll simply be lost. That's why us gringos and expats always use our lawyers for things like that. Then he'll tell you when you have to show up to sign things and you won't have to wait in those blasted lines and do all that running around. So what might that set you back? What will it cost? Well, let's talk about this case where you have to have a national ID replaced. Probably around $50 to $100. Plus the $12 expenses along the way. Whereas on the gringo tourist trail, they'll probably be double or triple that. So then you might ask, why do you need a lawyer? Why can't you just hire a Latin friend or bilingual college student to help you with that kind of stuff? Sure, you can do that, and for the complicated stuff, hire a lawyer. But you don't want to be calling your lawyer for every little thing. He's not a concierge service. Think if you hired your lawyer up in Minneapolis to come down to the phone company, for example, and help you pick out a cell phone and a service. First of all, he'd laugh at you and say he was too busy, and if he did come down, it would cost you $200 an hour. And by the way, this is really not a plug, but I have to mention that John Galt himself is setting up such a service in Antigua, Guatemala for people who plan on living, working, playing, or staying there. He's run into many clueless gringos who need a kind of concierge service. So, John Galt's working on it for those of you who are thinking about Antigua, Guatemala. Keep you posted on that. Okay, now here's something of interest for all you healthy folks out there and healthy wannabes and gonna-bes. This starts with an email from Christy. It says, hi Johnny, just a note about a possible income source for someone with a farming background. So Johnny, as this GMO crap gets more entrenched in the States and elsewhere, there could be quite a market for non-GMO corn and corn products, such as cornstarch, corn flour, and corn tortillas. She says, if they are able to outlaw GMO labeling, it will tie the hands of all U.S. producers, but will open the door for those outside the U.S. to promote their own non-GMO products via the Internet. However, this might necessitate something like sending boxes with multiple orders to a mail drop in some place like Florida and then having individual packages sent from there. The actual details up to the person who's involved in that business. Anyway, just wanted to put this out there in case someone might be interested. Thanks, Christy. Well, Christy, as a matter of fact, I happen to know a couple of organic farmers here in Latin America myself. I've been meaning to put one of these farms on my expat insider tour. I have it on my list as a plan B in case my other boots-on-the-ground locations fall through. I know we'll get there eventually. And of course, I'm talking about 100% non-GMO organic farms that are owned and operated by expat gringos. So yes, some have made big successes out of organic farming. But do they ship to the States? Well, I don't know. I guess I'll have to find that out. But I do know that some of them supply organic produce, etc., to organic and gourmet restaurants, and to gringos and upscale locals who know the difference. So I guess in the future, if there's enough interest at one of my seminars, I will make a point to take them there. And you know, funny enough, my seminars draw people from all walks of life. I get dyed-in-the-wool city dwellers, as well as farmers and even homesteaders who are off the grid up in the States. That's right, people who are 100% energy self-sufficient. Now, speaking of organic food and GMOs, regarding GMO legislation, now that's a political hot potato. People are always asking what the state of GMO legislation is in Latin America. Of course, it's ever-shifting, but first, let's talk about BT crops, which are crops engineered to grow in Roundup-ready weed killer. So we're talking about not only GMO crops, but crops that are hit with Roundup, which is glyphosate, and you know what that does to humans and other living things. So here's the Latin American list. You've got GMO cotton. I know that's not a food, but if they're using Roundup on this stuff, which they are, it'll get into neighboring food crops and the water table too. You've got your GMO cotton crops approved in Colombia, Mexico, and Costa Rica. And as for government approval of using GMO corn, approvals in Argentina, El Salvador, Honduras, Panama, Uruguay, and Mexico. You might remember Mexico banned it for a while, and now it's been overturned and they can use it again. And GMO soybeans have been approved in Argentina, Paraguay, Mexico, and Uruguay. GMO tomatoes approved in Chile. So there you have it. That's the short list of GMO-approved stuff being grown in Latin America. And by the way, my advice, don't eat anything from anywhere that has corn or soybean in it. Unless, of course, you're buying certified organic. Oh, and by the way, I was reading something the other day that said that societies that don't have corn at all in their diets don't have osteoarthritis either. How about that? I see we're getting to the end right now, so don't forget to go to www.thenewexpat.com and peruse the website that made John Galt famous, and he's letting me tag along on that website too. And do check out my new YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and plug in The Expat Files or just Expat Files. Then you can see exactly what I'm talking about on each show as I blather away. Oh, and I almost forgot. I ran into Expat Eddie the other day, and he's got a t-shirt that has four letters on it. It says VWYF. VWYF. He said to ask you listeners what you think the letters stand for.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!